The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I've not seen you fight like that before.
That wasn't fighting, that was... Well, killing him was not enough. It can never be enough.
But it's done. We've honored them.
Yes, so, what now? Bebenba?
Wessex. It must be Wessex or stay up. I will have instruction to kill me, I'm sure. I need peace for a time. I need my woman.
What up, Tura?
Whatever else, she's safe.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So let's sit back and see how England was born.
My name is Blake, and I just want to say this. I wanted to say it right up front, just for everybody to understand and love and appreciate and know. The fact of the matter is this. I called Itty Shea Sven getting eat by those dogs.
As did Nathan Boyce. That is the ultimate way for him to die. Ta-da-da-da. He's gone.
Yes, he's gone. Goodbye. And he finally couldn't escape. I thought he was gonna. And
he always does. He always has a little slippery sneak out the back door, on a horse.
I know. And I looked it up, just to see the timing of all of this. When, the Battle of the Bastards from Game of Thrones came out, that was in 2016. Unfortunately, this happened just short of a year later. So they weren't necessarily 100% original. You know, for those of you
who watch Game of Thrones and watch Last Kingdom, yeah. You're like, we've already seen a guy be eaten by his hounds.
Yes, that's so. It. But you know what?
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I appreciate it nonetheless. Mm-hmm. It was something that they absolutely alluded to, when it came to the Sven getting eaten by the dogs.
Green.
And I think it's appropriate. And I also think what the reaction that we got from Tura, like that was an appropriate reaction. But we'll get into all that when you get a moment.
Yeah. So before we get into this episode, we want to thank those of you who have made this podcast possible. You are friends at jointhenerdclan.com. If you're joining in live, please put a hashtag #GoNerdClanGo so we can give you an extra special shout out. And for those of you who have not yet joined, now's your chance. Jointhenerdclan.com is a one-stop shop to get all of our podcasts as well as our additional podcasts and all the perks. You're also going to want to make sure that you're there so that you are on our holiday card list. Yes, we do send out holiday cards to our friends who are $5 and above, and for correct. Our friends who are $10 and above, we even send you a present. So please, I know it's crazy to think the holiday season is coming up, but you don't want to miss out on this. We would love for you to be a member. jointhenerdclan.com.
And there's also another thing that's happening here too. We do have a goal. We have a goal of 1,000 members at jointhenerdclan.com because we need to get a new computer. And if we get 1,000 members, that will allow us to get a new computer. So please do consider, at least for the time being, consider becoming a member at jointhenerdclan.com. jointhenerdclan.com. We get all a bunch of cool stuff that you can look at and see there, a bunch of great perks. But we need a new computer for the studio to give you the best and most engaging and personal content that we can possibly deliver to you. So jointhenerdclan.com. Avin, are you ready?
I am.
Let's do it.
Break on down the episode details, Blake.
This one, once again, was directed by John East. John East did the last episode, the one that seems to be the high watermark of the series, I think. And this episode, once again, proves to be another high watermark, in my estimation. John East did, again, like I said, the last episode, but he also has directed different TV shows, including Downton Abbey, Killing Eve, Whiskey Cavalier, Lost in Space, the TV series, by the way, Cursed, and the latest effort that John East has is that show Pennyworth, which is on the DC Universe, like the subscription there. And it's actually a show about Alfred, as a matter of fact. That's in Batman, which is actually kind of cool. The writer was another non-Chris Pouchard writer.
Hey.
It was Sophie Petzl or Petzl. I apologize if I'm getting that. I looked up to try to find the correct pronunciation and I could not find it. And
it's okay.
Pronunciation is something that is a really big deal for me. My guess would be Petzl. I think that's what would feel like the right pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
She has written many different television shows, a lot of it British television, including Red Rock, The Dumping Ground, Jekyll and Hyde, Danger Mouse, Medici, Riviera, Blood, and Hollington Drive. So if you like any of those shows, please go check out Sophie Petzl's writing credits if you liked what went down in this episode. Marvin, your shields rating for this episode? How many shields are you giving episode 4?
I mean, I'm giving it a solid 4.8.
Okay, better than last episode. I'll take it.
Yes.
All right. So what about, well, you know, we'll get there.
We're going to get there, of course.
Yeah, I'm giving this one the same exact rating that I gave the last episode, which is a 4.9. I really liked this episode, and this is a great little run of episodes that we've had here so far. And it was well-paced. It was full of great confrontation and once again, well-written lines. And I would say that one thing that stands out to me is that this episode feels more like a season or series finale.
Agreed.
As opposed to the midpoint of
I think that this is the end of the third book. I was hearing that from somewhere that like this would have marked the end of the third book and then we're going into some of the other books from here on out. But
yes.
I agree with you. There kind of was this bittersweet and sigh of closure.
Yeah, a deep sigh of closure, I think, where, you know, the Kiartan is dead. Idyshe Sven is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so sad that we'll never get a chance to say Idyshe Sven again. I'm not going to lie. This really closes out that first bit of storytelling that we've started, and feels like the show has decided to move beyond its original scope, which could be really great or it could be really bad.
Yeah,
we'll see what goes on from there. Your GBG, Marvin.
My good is just the brotherly love that we have between Uhtred and Ragnar. I really appreciate them. I liked seeing them work together.
Mm-hmm.
I liked seeing how just Uhtred was able to interact with him and for them to, their interaction with their sister Tira, is that how we say
Tura.
Her name? Tura. I don't know, I just liked seeing the complexities of these siblings who have been away from each other for so long, who still love each other and have all this background, and have a lot of common goals. I don't know, it's just neat.
Mm-hmm.
My bad is, I'm forgetting his name, but the guy that was Kiartan's like adopted son.
Oh, Sitric.
Yes, Sitric.
Yep.
He gave some like not so great looks when Kiartan's skull was being bashed in repeatedly over and over
and
over again.
Jelly.
Yeah, he was kind of like, all right, I'm actually not cool with this anymore. So it makes you wonder, like, did he have feelings for Kiartan, even though, you know, he was another like stolen son and
sure.
he was on Uhtred's team. I'm a little nervous that he's going to actually turn on Uhtred or Ragnar at some point. And then my great, once again, Father Bjarke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is my solid. He is my Hagrid. He is just my steady
he's your Hurley.
Character.
He's your Hurley. Is he your Hurley?
No.
No, he's really not.
No.
Why?
Hurley just explains things too much.
Okay, gotcha. Understood.
No, he's just a solid, like, he's my Hagrid. He's got my back. He's always there. He's, you know, pleasant with other people.
Yep.
Yep, that's my GBG. How about you?
All right, good. Actually, Mary, you kind of stole my good, but it was your bad. And that is the complexity that has now arisen because it looked like you're right. I noticed that as well. Citric had this look about him. And I don't know if that was because it was like, that is technically my dad. And you're just straight up, not even murdering him. But you're just you're eviscerating him.
You're mashing potatoes, his head.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But instead of potatoes, it'd be like beets. You're mashing beets with my dad's head, essentially. I don't know if that look is because that's my dad and I kind of love him or is, ooh, the same look that everybody else gave, which is, hey, Ragnar, why don't you, let's take a 10 second time out.
A little talk space therapy.
Yeah, let's.
There might be a little more to this that needs uncovering.
Yeah, let's take a breather, you know, regroup.
Maybe get an adult coloring book.
Circle back and do some coloring.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody gave him that kind of look. So either way, I like what happened there.
Okay.
Because either, you know, Ragnar is kind of like everybody looks at him just a little bit differently now, or Citric really does feel a little bit of anger, and that will provide us some drama for Uhtred, especially after Citric's.
Well, it's kind of like when you start to hang out with a new friend group, and you're like, these people are great, and then you see, oh, they're not so great after all. Did I make a poor choice?
Yeah, that.
Should I go sit at the other lunch table?
Not great, Bob.
Okay, so my bad was that we didn't get to see the reemergence of the big giant death skull that Uhtred was wearing at the beginning of the season.
Ew.
I kind of wish that we did. And that was
that he came in riding the horse, remember me and my lepers and beheading people.
In just some form or fashion, I wanted to see that happen to Sven.
It was me, Sven.
Yeah, like, or it just a reminder of it of somehow or something. Like, you build that up, and, you promise.
He doesn't carry that in his, like, little backpack.
Well, he carried it enough to, like, use it a couple of times. So I feel like that should be a, I don't know. And regardless of whether or not he's carrying the thing, okay, the fact of the matter is that you wrote this into your story. It's like Chekhov's gun. You introduce a gun at the beginning, and by the third act, you better expect it to be going off.
Okay.
The same thing happens here. I feel like you introduce this character.
Well, we introduced the dogs, and the dogs were used later.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm talking about this, you know.
The mask.
The mask and the character that Uhtred is inhabiting. Okay. You introduce this, and then there's no payoff for it, at least not as of yet, and in what would be the most applicable form of that character. So I wish that we had some kind of emergence of that big, giant skull. I think that would have been really cool.
Okay.
And my great, though, is obviously, of course, the whole thing with, like you, Mary, the Father Bjarke. Mm-hmm. And, but not just Father Bjarke. It is his response to Tura, how he says, I don't know you, you don't know me, but I refuse to let you kill your brothers. They've loved you. That whole, oh man, the whole reunion, if you want to call it that, that was just really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The way
it was complex.
Yeah. The way that she, claims that they left her and she's pissed and like, just go kill these people. And then she has this kind of awkward moment where she just like yells really loud and runs away.
I feel like I wish I could do that in my life every once in a while.
Yeah.
Our 6-year-old daughter does that.
Yes,
she does. Eat your carrots.
And she does that. But then, of course, again, later on, the Father Bjarke and Tura thing where he's in the actual, the dog pen, if you will. And I just love that instead of seeing a character that is just damaged and is a problem and can be written out, the show is embracing Tura, and the show is allowing Father Bianca to see what is special in her, and that is her resilience, that is her vigilance, that is her ability to live amongst the Vikings and be tortured and raped and have all of these things happen to her, and yet still she perseveres. Granted, a little bit weird. Little bit weird, but still perseveres nonetheless.
Yeah.
And Father Bianca not only sees that good in that, but also the divinity of that, how that could be a gift from God. And it'll be interesting to see how that relationship between the two evolves going forward. So I like how that is set up and what that does for those characters. That is my GBG.
Love it.
That is my good, my bad, and my great. So you gave this one a 4.8, and you said you liked it better than the previous episode.
Yeah.
What about your general elevator pitch? What about this episode makes you like it a little bit more than the last episode? Because
the finality of it, the tying of the loose ends. Like you said, this almost felt like a season finale.
Yes.
So it gave you kind of that like, yay, the good guys won, you know, a little ending to it. It was really bloody and gross.
Yes.
And I didn't have the happiest feelings the entire time, which I know the optimist that I am. I need to like shelve that there aren't always perfectly happy endings in this show. It's not Gilmore Girls. Okay. It's, but I'll be fine. So yeah, I mean, I think I left feeling bittersweet.
Yeah. Is that because
I feel bad for their sister. I'm happy she's hanging out with Bianca, but like that girl's going to have issues for quite some time.
Yeah.
Ragnar obviously has some issues. Uhtred will probably have some issues at some point.
He always has issues.
He always does. Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I feel good, but you know, it's not going to last long.
Yeah. This episode, listen, The Last Kingdom is many things, but what it is really good at is really drilling down what it wants to be and how it moves itself forward. Like we've talked about, the show just blows through plot and it blows through time.
Yes.
Like it's its job, which it is, essentially. But I mean, a half a season of the Last Kingdom is a full season of Outlander, let's say, or any other show in particular, right? But yet at that same time, it really still focuses and drills down to what it wants to be and what it is about. And in this particular episode, we find a lot having to do with our siblings and our families. And what does that mean? And how do we relate to each other? And you know, we find that whether it is the relationship between Tura and Ragnar and, as well as Uhtred gets married, and that is a creation of a new family. Eric and Siegfried, guy gets his hand cut off, and his brother's like, listen, fine, whatever. That was definitely no joke. That was no joke. He gets his hand cut off. He's like, and the brother says, yeah, okay, no problem. Don't worry about it. I'll do whatever you want. Just spare my brother's life. And that's it. So we have all these relationships that are coming to the fore. And not only that too, but as much as you hate to admit it, the relationship shared between Kjartan and Idishe Sven. I mean, watching Kjartan's face when he looked down and saw Idishe Sven's face just, made into
kibble.
Yeah, kibble. it looked like an ashtray almost. Like it just, that was sad.
Yes, it was.
Especially when he's fighting and he's pushing back and he had the shield walls and he looks over and he sees it and there's blood everywhere. These dogs are mauling him and you just see him say, all right, what am I doing this? Like, I'm done. This is the whole point. So the motivating factor throughout this entire episode are these familial relationships. And is that why, do you think, Mary, that this might have been one of those episodes that stands out a little bit more than the previous?
Oh, yes. I mean, it is literally Thanksgiving, families back together, brought their drama. Some people get along, some don't. Party at some point. There's a fight, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm confused because this is the middle of the season. Like it was a really good episode, but I feel so confused as to what is next. And I'm excited to see what is next.
That's a, you know what? That's a really great question, Mary. Like, what is next? Like, you're in the middle of your season and you have decided to say, okay, we're blowing it all up.
Yeah.
Like, everything that we've built towards, in this past season and a half is, it's over now. You know, short of, you know, Eric and Siegfried saying, nah, we're not leaving. I don't know how you progress your story. I mean, Uhtred does what he was supposed to do. He's going to go back to Wessex. Ragnar now has Dunholm. He's gifted Dunholm. That's his now. Like, Stiapa isn't going to kill Uhtred. Father Bjarke does his thing with Tura. Like,
Father Bjarke.
Like, yeah, he does just, his thing.
Yes.
Like, where, and I know this is kind of like destined to be theory of the week stuff, but like, where do you think this goes? Like, when you see,
well, obviously,
what we have,
Uhtred still has that Bebbanburg. Like, that is, you know, the ultimate goal that he has, his long-term goal. And then we have Alfred doing his thing with his daughter and, you know, figuring stuff out there. So I think that there's still going to have to be, I mean, he promised himself to Alfred again.
Yes.
I think he's going to have to do this major choice again. Do I hang with my Danes and my new wife and my brother, who obviously needs a little bit of consoling, and my sister, who needs a lot of help?
Yep.
Or,
all the copays.
Or do I go and I do what I told Alfred I was going to do, all of which kind of derails me from my ultimate goal of Bebbanburg. So
I think he's going to have to go back to Alfred, because he knows he's got to do it. He's got to do it. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't do it, then I know, I think he knows he's got major problems. The only thing that I can see happening here is, you're right, Mary, the goal of Bebbanburg here's a good question. Alfred already is in this mode of, you know, nation building. We already see him dealing with Ethelred, in Mercia, right? No, that's the prince. That's the prince. Princess is Ethelfled.
Okay.
Ethelred is the guy that she's potentially going to get married to. So we already see that world building aspect. Mm-hmm. Does Alfred turn heel and say, okay, time to go get Uncle Scar and everybody in Bebbanburg, and we're going to help Uhtred become...
I don't see him like making that a priority on his list.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I need to see a map of Wessex and of all of England at this time to understand. Would having Uhtred be in control of Bebbanburg help Alfred?
My sense is yes, because...
One would think, but like, I need to see where it is in relation to like the bad Danes and other people.
Yeah. But oddly enough, it is Ethelwald, the drunk guy, who kind of saves Uhtred here.
Okay.
And in a way that I think is unexpected, Uhtred and Ragnar are like, okay, Breida's like, listen, let's just go kill the turd, and we'll take Northumbria, and we'll have all this. Who's Alfred? Whatever. Like, we'll have all this stuff.
Yeah.
What's he going to be able to do? And Ethelwald, as much as I love him, and as funny as he can be, he was actually quite smart, saying, no, you are here, and you are here on behalf of Alfred. That is why you have all of this. And
his first seriously solid move.
It was a very solid move. Mm-hmm. And we all know as viewers that Stiapa was given orders by Alfred to kill Uhtred if that is what he was going to do. So that dramatic irony played out well. The funny thing is, at the end of the episode, as we just played, you know, Uhtred finally has a smart move, and he finally says something that was actually like kind of intelligent. If I don't do this, Stiapa is probably going to kill me. So I got to go back.
Yeah.
No, I got to go back.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I looked at Uhtred and I said, you're thinking like a king.
Ooh.
You're thinking like a king.
He's getting there. Well, and so much time has passed, as you've already said. You know, he's been able to grow up in many ways, and he's been through different hardships, and also kind of see the way that history repeats itself, the way that history lays things out, typically how people behave. So now that he's more of a mature man, he's not fully mature, honestly, but we're seeing this from him, right?
Sure, sure. And you're getting more maturity out of Ethelwald as well. And mm-hmm. it makes me wonder if there is going, not necessarily going to be a play on Alfred, because I don't think that's going to happen, but what Ethelwald will have to do in Alfred's service. Perhaps Alfred does see more out of Ethelwald, right? Mm-hmm. Perhaps he does get more opportunity, and does that set up issues with Uhtred later on? I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is that I was happy to see Breeda back. Breeda was back, baby.
Guess who's back?
She back is again. Great.
She truly is. She truly, truly is. And big fan of Breeda.
When they're going to meet Guthrid, the side eye that she gives Guthrid after Ragnar is like, listen, you got a choice. Either you mm-hmm. join us or I take all of this.
Yeah.
Again, Ragnar quickly becoming one of my favorite characters.
Agreed.
But the Breeda side eye was diabolical. Woo! Man.
Yeah, she's judgy, but it's because she knows better. Like, let's be real. This girlfriend, like, wrote the books of, like, here's how to fight in combat. Here's how to, like, steal lands.
Yep.
She's awesome. I'm afraid of her, though, I will say.
How come?
I don't know. I just feel like she's...
She's on her own team.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on her own team.
And, like, she's a little crabby. But I just feel like she's got this straight goal. And anything that's going to distract her from that is her enemy.
She is pure Dane.
Yes, but not really.
But not really. But like her actions are pure Dane. Like, mm-hmm. let's just kill everybody and screw Alfred. We're up here. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
It adds a lot of great tension to what otherwise would be just. A mission from Alfred that is supposed to go well.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to the siege of Dunholm, you asked me a question. It's like, how did Uhtred know that there was this other door? Remember, like, there was this other door that they were going to go in.
Yes, the like basement door where people were like outside. Were they getting water?
Yeah, they were getting water.
Yeah, little extra entrance that saved the entire mission.
Yeah, which
they had to stand out there against the wall.
Yeah,
for a very long time.
Yeah, it was at least for a few hours.
No, thank you.
The way that it was shot, it was, you know, they arrived at night, obviously, and mm-hmm. then it was early in the morning when they finally made their move. So it was at least a few hours.
Yes.
That's the way that it feels to me. What did you feel about the Siege of Dunholm, how that all went down? Did you like how it was directed, how it was shot?
I did. I felt very frantic, and yet, like, the Danes were going to persevere. I liked that they came in from different sides. It wasn't like they had this giant army. It's like they needed this to work. They needed them to come in through, and they needed the guys with the, I don't know any of these terms, but the shields over their heads with the thing that were the big trunk, the big ram. You really felt like this is down to the wire and everyone needs to play their part.
Yeah.
You got Breeda hiding in the trees being like, second round, go. You need to replace these guys that have been, you know, burned or shot with arrows and everything. And you really felt like we need to give it our all. This is our one chance.
Yeah.
I did like how Kiartan was thrown off. Mm-hmm. I liked when they realized that Uhtred and everybody was inside and they had to start fighting on all those different levels. I was nervous for a little bit.
About what?
Just that the timing wouldn't work out. I didn't know that Breeda was with the second bunch of people in the woods.
Yeah.
So as Ragnar's there with the ram and the people in the shields and Kjartan and Idisfasfen and all of their people, they just keep, you know, dropping hot stuff on them and doing the arrows. I'm like, they're going to run out of people to hold this ram. Like, I don't know if Uhtred's going to make it in time. So well played.
Yeah, it was funny. One of the things that I noticed, and I'm really happy about this little detail, is, you know, with the battering ram and the shield wall that they're holding over their heads and they're trying to defend themselves, you know, Kjartan is throwing the spears down, guys are getting picked off mm-hmm. and whatever. But I also noticed that some guys were just running away.
Yep.
And they're like, you know what? Screw this.
This is not worth it.
I am done. See you later.
Yep.
I really like that little detail because mm-hmm. that feels real. And Ragnar is saying, you know, everybody stay together, stay together. It's the only way it's going to work is if we all stay together.
Yep.
And you can see him really struggling to mm-hmm. find cohesion in his men as some guys are just running off. And the funny thing too, the ironic thing is that the show highlights the fact that anybody who runs off is gonna get killed. regardless, because they're now breaking
leaving the wall. They're leaving any kind of extra protection. You know, as you run, you have, are showing your entire backside to the archers on top.
Did you notice that Breeda calls Uhtred Arsling? Oh,
oh, a little Leofric, yes, kind little of Leofric. A throwback.
Oh, man, that was great. Let's keep it going.
I agree.
I need that just mm-hmm. right into my veins. Just keep it coming. I love that there's this little thing. It actually reminds me when we actually watched Jungle Cruise recently.
We did.
And it was a good film. I wouldn't say that it was great. It was not Pirates of the Caribbean.
It was a great summer flick.
It was a fun summer flick. Like, mm-hmm. you watched it, you turned your brain off, and you had fun. But one of the great things in that movie, which I loved, is when it was when The Rock kept calling Emily Blunt pants.
Mm-hmm.
That was just great. And that's how I feel about people calling Uhtred Arsling. It just,
yes.
That's, you know, when you bring it in there every once in a while, it just sends happiness and joy through my spine.
Agreed.
And I quite like that. One person that did not, though, give me happiness and joy is, in fact, Guthred. Do you, Mary, think that, honestly, Uhtred is Guthred's best friend?
No, but Guthred, I think, thinks that. I think Guthred's loopy.
He is.
As Uncle Vernon would say, yumpy.
Yeah. You made him yumpy.
Yeah. I think Guthred is yumpy.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Whatever that means. Maybe it's actually like a real British term that people use, and if so, please let us know.
I know.
But I love that in Harry Potter. Made him yumpy.
That's so funny. he's on Planet Zippy. Guthred. And mm-hmm. the fact that he thinks that he's able to just come over and be like, hey, Uhtred, you want to come like talk for a little bit? Can I just tell you that you're my best friend? You're just my best friend and I love you and I'm sorry. And yeah, I betrayed you, but you know,
it's okay because I like you.
I still feel like what we have is special. You're like, get out of here,
you're
guy.
You're crazy. Just because I killed your favorite person who was your puppet master doesn't mean now I'm your best friend. Like, how easily swayed is this weak-minded king?
Right. And that's going to be the issue. I think that may be an issue going forward. Mm-hmm. Guthred, I don't think they've introduced this character to just have him go away, the way that you kind of want him to.
Yes.
I feel like he's got some stuff happening, and there's going to have to be, I think, some more interaction,
mm-hmm.
Between Guthred and himself. And I think that comes in the form of Alfred going after Aelfrich. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Interesting. Interesting.
Blake. Are you happy that Uhtred gets married to Gisela?
I'm fine with it.
Are you more on the Gisela train yet, or are you not on the Gisela train yet?
I mean, I like Gisela. I do. I'm okay with it.
Yep.
She's got a brain. She likes Uhtred. I'm not married to any of these people. I gotta tell you. Aside from Father Bjorka and Ragnar, I think everybody else can come and go. And
sure.
Breeda,
yep.
I think Breeda's the long game. Watch out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she and Ragnar?
No, her.
Just her?
She's like a determined, focused, I don't know, warrior.
Got to admit, when I'm watching her and she's watching Ragnar, you know, just smoke Kjartan, her face is devilish. It is.
That's what I mean.
Pure devilish.
I mean, I've been watching her recently and I'm like, ooh.
But then,
I wouldn't invite you to a sleepover.
But even then, even she stops and looks at him like, mm-hmm. Let's take a 20-second time out here.
Yeah.
Like, and that I was surprised by, because she was so bloodthirsty. She was so involved in making sure mm-hmm. that this was Ragnar's, this was his thing. What do you think about just Ragnar fighting Kjartan, by the way, and not Uhtred?
I was quite nervous, actually, because I haven't really seen Ragnar in battle, and he just spent so much effort with that ram.
Right.
You know, Kjartan's just chilling up top, telling people what to do, and we have Ragnar there hauling this massive thing, having fire fall beside him, so I already knew that he was taxed. He didn't look necessarily up to shape in regards to that fight, but that's what you have to remember, just what he was through. He stayed up all night. He did this ram thing. thing. Like, he's been through a lot. And then for him to have to fight this warrior of Kjartan, I was nervous that Ragnar was going to die.
I thought so too. I thought something was going to happen with Ragnar where Uhtred was going to have to come in and save him.
Yes.
And that would propel the rest of the show. Like, okay, well, these two were supposed to be alone fighting and that was going to decide the battle. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, here comes Uhtred killing, you know, cause to save Ragnar. I thought that was going to happen, but it didn't. And it went a much different direction than I thought it was going to. I thought the direction of the battle itself was great, but where the direction really stands out to me was actually when Uhtred went and just chopped off, I think it was Eric's hand. And that fight in the tent.
Yes. That was nerve-wracking.
That was absolutely nerve-wracking. It's not that I knew that he was going to, that Uhtred was going to die or anything, because you know he's not going to, he's the main character. But how does he get himself into the situation, get him out, and find an amenable situation on how to keep surviving with all of his people. I thought the direction was close combat, frantic, in your face. You felt like you were right there. And that moment when Eric puts his hand out and Uhtred just takes his sword and just lops his freaking hand off. Oh, this show surprises me. That was a surprising move. And then to take that hand and just throw it on Guthrid's table and his fruit as he's looking at it. Oh, just once again, diabolical.
So gross.
I know. All right. You got anything else you'd like to say about this episode, my darling?
I'm really excited to watch the next episode. As I said previously, and you have mentioned before, Blake, it feels very, final for a season, and it wasn't. So I'm interested to see where it goes from here. Do you think there's going to be a time jump?
That feels to me like the most logical thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, all right, so as a story, you blew your load. Okay, you blew your load. Like you went through the whole thing.
You
gave yourself finality, which is great.
Yep.
But you did it halfway through your season. You can't ramp the tension back up again so quickly. Unless there's a wholly unexpected move from something like Alfred, or maybe something happens with Ethelfled, or maybe the guy that she's going to get married to isn't the nicest guy. Maybe he treats her like crap.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to build up to that. And that is a very distinct turn.
Agreed.
Coming off of what you have accomplished.
Well, I think we're going to spend some time with those current actors. I don't think that they would have introduced, you know, these older teenage actors into those roles if we weren't going to stay with them for a while. So it can't be too drastic of a time.
So here's my guess.
Like before, when she went from a little kid to what she is now.
Right. In a matter of a year.
Yes.
Here's my guess. My guess is that, Mary, I think you're right. There is a time jump. And we have not yet seen the last of Eric and Siegfried. Because I don't think you introduced those characters at the beginning of the season just to have his arm cut or his hand cut off.
Yeah.
It seems to me like there's now a blood feud between them and Uhtred for doing so. And that has to be figured out.
Okay.
So you know what? There you go. There's my early Destined to Be theory of the week. Mary, I think you're right. There will be a time jump, and Eric and Siegfried are once again going to be coming back. And I wonder if Ethelred, the guy that Ethelfled is getting married to, or potentially getting married to, if he ain't all what he's cracked up to be. I wonder if he's kind of little bananas like his grandfather.
Oh, dear.
Like, I wonder if he's just got a little bit of crazy in him.
I don't think his grandfather was crazy. I think he was passionate, and he knew he wasn't going to be pushed around.
The guy trolled himself to death.
I think he was fine.
I don't know. It would make sense, because then Alfred could then use Uhtred to go save Ethelfled.
Okay. Yes, that would make sense.
I kind of like that idea.
Okay.
I kind of like that idea. That would feel right to me. But that is that. You know what, Mary? We actually have some listener feedback that
Ooh,
I kind of want to get
I'm
into
excited.
Here. So I don't have a sounder for this necessarily.
Well, you're going to have to get one.
I know. And I wanted to include this just because people are writing in about The Last Kingdom. And, if, you know what? Screw it. Why not? We'll get in here. So if you want to write some emails to us or you want to get your messages out there, look us up on all of the major, social media platforms or write to us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com and we will read your email right here on the podcast.
Yay.
So we got some right here. This one comes from Emily.
Hello, Emily.
It says, I know I'm a couple episodes behind, but when I was watching the season finale and Otto the Elder killed his son, I assumed he was doing it to save him from being tortured. In the not-too-distant future of England, the penalty for treason is being hung, drawn, and quartered with some creative variations. Look at William Wallace in Braveheart to see what happens when you are hung, drawn, and quartered. So I can only imagine a similar fate in this age, perhaps. And I interpreted his pleas to Alfred to forgive his son as, please just let him die peacefully. And also, maybe don't blame me for creating this traitor. Anyway, my two cents, time for The Last Kingdom, mailbag, perhaps. Yes. I think there are two things that are happening. One, Otto the Elder is probably worried that Otto the Younger's actions will look poorly on Otto the Elder. Like,
yes.
And I think he's begging King Alfred to be like, please just forgive him so I know that I'm kind of safe.
Mm-hmm.
That is the selfish aspect of it. But I think the father aspect of it all is just forgive him. Like, he was young and he was stupid. And if you don't forgive him, who knows where he's going to end up?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows where he's going to spend his eternity?
Yeah.
That forgiveness, I think, is important to Otto the Elder and where his son, the person, the kid that he loves, and he loves him so much that he murders him, which is kind of, you know, a little bit of a...
I wouldn't have done that.
I probably would not have done that either. Yeah. But when he obviously spared Otto the Younger a lot of bad news.
Yes.
Like a lot of bad news. Agreed. Bad news was coming his way.
Agreed.
And this was his way of going out. Mm-hmm. This was his way of making sure his kid is taken care of. So I wonder if that is Otto the Elder.
I also don't know, you know, just like how you were saying in the previous episode about Leofric, that maybe had they known that they were definitely going to be getting a season two, that they would have had him have Halleck's character on the slave ship. But also, I don't know if they were intending upon older Otter passing in season one. And yet here he is being, you know, still by the king's side. The way that he was injured and the way people were talking about him at the end of season one, you felt like, this guy's dead. Like,
yeah.
He's not well, and I almost took it as the cut that he had in his head kind of jumbled his brain a little
bit.
That's
the way that I felt.
And the way
that
Mildred was taking care of him and everything, I thought, like, okay, this guy, like, they don't have insane asylums, you know, but like we just need to, like, keep Otto, like, eating some porridge and just, like, sitting in a little safe room.
With a blanket.
Exactly. Like, here he is next to the king, you know, he's back in his tip-top shape. So I don't necessarily know what the intent behind that was for the long term, or if they were just trying to write it as like wrapping it up for season one.
Sure.
And yet the writers decided, no, we like Otter, but we need to give him a little bit of his knowledge and we got to bring him back to life.
Right. A lot of people actually, Mary was saying, you brought up the whole change that we were exploring with Leofric and, possibly he taking Halleck's place on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people liked it and a lot of people pushed back on that.
Some of the
conversation was revolving around the idea that Leofric was, number one, not Uhtred's man necessarily. He belonged to Otto.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't be in that position to begin with. But number two, that Leofric was a warrior. He was too strong. If both Leofric and Uhtred were in the same space, that they don't think that they would have been made into slaves.
Okay.
And that Leofric is strong and he would have been able to get to the boat and pull the boat off of the, off of the beach and do the whole thing. I think I think there's some really good notes in there, but my note to all of that, my catch-all note to all of that, Mary, I know you know what I'm going to say.
I don't.
Stats are for nerds.
Oh, okay.
Okay, stats are for nerds. I care about emotionality.
A lot of people cared about Halleck. I didn't.
It's not to say that I didn't care about him.
I felt badly, but I did feel that bad. Was Leofric on the edge
that
of the boat.
That would have been gut-wrenching.
I would not have been well.
Gut-wrenching. Would have been brutal. Yeah. All right, last one comes from Tammy. Tammy says, I'm writing because I'm not receiving notice of your announcements when you're having your Facebook Live or premieres for the Last Kingdom discussion. Hmm. I thought I'd signed up to receive the notifications or remind by text, but all I get is what I see is about the is when you get it for the Join the Nerd Clan. When we put it out at Join the Nerd Clan early, she gets those emails, but no reminds for the Last Kingdom. She does get the Potterverse notices, so she's not completely out of the loop. What do I need to do to get the TLK notices?
Well, we don't have a texting service for The Last Kingdom right now. I will say that. So
right.
This is a question for Outlander and for Potter. We do have a texting service where yes. I send you a little text and I say, guess what? We're going tonight. We're showing up live. So we do not yet have something for The Last Kingdom. What I would suggest is to make sure that you're following and setting, you have to click like a little star, I believe, on the Mary and Blake page on Facebook. And that way you will get a notification that we have scheduled out the time slot for you to attend
Correct.
The premiere. I will say, of all of our podcasts, The Last Kingdom is the one that we have to be give a little bit of the most flexibility to, and
right.
we are thankful for that. Frequently when it's a show that is airing on television live, you know, we watch the show and then the next day we are podcasting about it for sure. When it comes to currently now, as we are juggling the back to school schedule and stuff with the kids, some days we can just get it up when we can get it up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, podcast first, live video came kind of second to us. Our right. live video aspects and social media really came about because of the pandemic. So when we created these podcasts, it really was like getting it up when we can. We love all of you who can join in for these live discussions. So if you would like us to create a texting service for The Last Kingdom, comment below if you're watching us live right now.
Should we do just like a general Mary and Blake text service? That's a question I'll put to you guys, to the listeners. Do you want just a general Mary and Blake texting service that you get notification every time we go live? Doesn't matter what it is.
I think people can get that just simply on Facebook and they can get that notification.
Okay.
I can look into seeing if we could potentially create a Last Kingdom one.
Okay.
So. That is that.
All right, fair enough.
But just let us know if that is something that you'd like.
Yes, we'll have those. We'll have that discussion, and we'll get the responses from everybody. So, all right. But since we've already given our Destined to Be Theories of the Week, it is time to close this bad boy out. Marvin, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Particularly those of you who've been joining in live, we appreciate you. You could put a little farewell. Don't forget, let us know where you've been tuning in from. As always, brings a little smile to our hearts. Another thank you for those of you who have joined at jointhenerdclan.com. I just checked right now, and our current patron number is at 824. 824 of you have given from your heart because we bring some levity to your life. We bring some lumos in the time of Nox.
Mm-hmm.
We are a mom-and-pop podcast shop. You know, as little as $2 a month, honestly makes a huge, huge difference in our lives. We want to be able to keep podcasting and to keep this train rolling, so know that every little bit counts.
And remember, we do have a goal of 1,000 members, and once we get to 1,000, we can buy our new state-of-the-art computer, which will run this entire studio that you're actually, if you're watching right now, you can see the whole thing. It will run it perfectly, and I'm very excited about it because we have been having some technical difficulties with this computer that I'm using right now, but it's almost 10 years old, so it's
yeah.
about time, you know, it's about time. And you can help us do that by becoming a member at jointhenerdclan.com. So,
on that note, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.